City Current. Produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or tune in to Radio Access 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
It's Wednesday, April 10th, and we are here in the studios at Dakota Media Access, and it's time for our Bismarck City Current. So Jason Timonic is here, Assistant City Administrator for the City of Bismarck.
Good afternoon, Mary. Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you here.
Happy to be here.
After another long meeting last night. Tuesday nights are the City Commission meeting nights, and Bismarck had another one that was pretty long.
Just under four hours.
Not a record, but yeah, it was a lots to get to.
There's a lot going on in the city as an organization. Plus, this time of the year, we are really busy with street improvement projects and a variety of things. So it's somewhat normal, but still a lot to cover.
Yep, a lot of different topics. So let's jump in. On your consent agenda, a couple items we just wanted to pull out, and they really weren't discussed separately. But there is a call for a public hearing for a zoning change for the Good Shepherd North area, not that particular building,
right,
but right
not
in
the
that
former
vicinity.
Church. There's a vacant lot directly south across Medora Avenue. The request from the ownership group is to change that zoning to allow for offices and multifamily. Right now, there's a condition on there that nothing over two stories in height can be built.
Okay.
And that was a condition on the property that was placed early on. This was one of the first pieces of North Washington Street, north of 43rd Avenue, that was seeing development. For anybody that remembers, you know, 10 plus years ago, the Good Shepherd campus was up there, kind of on an island all by itself.
Yeah.
So there were some restrictions placed on those properties initially, just for a just-in-case scenario. You know, not exactly sure what types of businesses we're going to develop there.
Well, it seems like a good proposal. I mean, it's an office area. It's commercially zoned. And this, Lloyd's put up a map so you can, our viewers can see it, not our radio listeners, but North Washington Street, again, just south of the Good Shepherd building.
Right, just south of Medora. And it's an appropriate zoning change for this area. You'll see some offices and some apartments and a variety of things moving into this corridor. Of course, Washington Street, we all know, is one of the busiest streets in town. It's probably the longest street in town, the straightest street in town, too, perhaps from start to finish. So, yeah, there will be an opportunity for a public hearing coming up in a couple of weeks. If anybody's got questions or comments, they can sure contact our planning staff in the Community Development Department. Or, as with all public hearings, if you have an interest, we would encourage you to come out and share your thoughts.
Two weeks,
April 23rd. That'll
got
be when it.
It
is.
Also on the consent agenda was a request to hang banners on Main Avenue. For BSC, Bismarck State Colleges came from Bismarck State College in cooperation with the Downtown Association and their Towns and Gowns program. So during next year, during the Arts Quest, they will be hanging them. I would assume this we're talking about 2020 or are we talking
about
now?
Actually, I think they're talking about putting them up next week. So the BSC Arts Quest started in March and it will travel into May. So it's a nice long opportunity for all sorts of things that BSC does. Some of the things that people in town might recognize, of course, would be the Raku pottery event that they do. They've also got some live concerts, some theatrical performances. Yeah. It's a tremendous opportunity for the students of BSC and for residents
check out their area. Their schedule is online on their website, and we had an opportunity to work with them last week. That's why I was thinking it's more in the past than in the future as far as Arts Quest, but it's not. There's a lot of events still coming up. We get again, an opportunity to work with them last week during the film festival. They were our initial night and kind of kicked us off on that Thursday night with that documentary. So
good group of people over there.
Yeah, absolutely. So these banners will be going up this year.
Yes.
We'll see some color. They're very colorful.
Very
vibrant.
Has
them. There we go.
There's a picture of one.
Yeah, look at those.
Celebrate the Arts, Bismarck State College.
Very pretty.
And another vibrant and bright one, Arts Quest, late March through early May.
Yeah.
So you'll see those on Main Avenue temporarily. They'll come down after the Arts Quest is over, but this is just another way to help raise awareness for some of these activities that are going on in the capital city.
Bismarck State EDU, check out that schedule, because there are just tons of
it's
things.
It's unbelievable how much that they can pack really into about 6 weeks.
Yeah, that sounds great. Another thing on the consent agenda, and I'm sorry, we didn't talk about this in advance, so I'm kind of throwing you off a little bit maybe, but Commissioner Guy did pull one item off of the consent agenda, and that was talk about the budget process that's coming up. And the reason that she pulled it off, as I understood, she's just concerned about some of the timing and wanted more time on the front end to absorb all the documents before it hits their table.
Yeah, she was very quick to point out that last year, any year, will inundate the commissioners with several hundred pages of material. Mm-hmm. I think last year she mentioned it was over 500 pages of material to try and pour over in a short time span. That is really the big ticket that goes along with our budget proposal. So what she was asking of the budget committee and of city staff was to try and get as much information to the commissioners as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. So they do have adequate time to pour over all of the things that are in there, because there are a lot of details in there and there are a lot of big picture things too. So
Absolutely. We
already talked about it this morning. Of course, Commissioner Marquardt is our finance commissioner, so he is part of that as well. Myself and Keith Hunke and our new finance director when we get there.
Your new finance director, this will be an interesting year to go through the process.
Right.
But again, just to let people know that this process begins now. The city department heads have got fair warning that come up with your list, get your things in order for 2020, because you're going to be coming to them. And there's a whole process. That process was included on your agenda. Mm-hmm. It's a link on your agenda from last night that you can see the dates, the timeline for this budget process.
Yeah, there are some pretty hard dates that are set by North Dakota Century Code. We've got to have information to the county prior to August 10th, which means the commissioners have to meet in special session ahead of that.
Right.
And before any of that can happen, the budget committee, all the department directors, all the staff that get involved with this, we'll go through these things for several weeks in June and early July.
And that budget from past years is online as well on
Absolutely,
your website,
so. Yeah. We would encourage anybody that's got questions to go. We store it under the finance department's portion of our website.
Okay.
But it's in its entirety, so you can see where every line item goes and what it looks like. Just a big round number, last year's budget for the city of Bismarck was right around $190 million. So, I mean, we're not talking about, you know, small dollars and cents here. There's a lot of money that it takes to run this community.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So moving into the regular agenda, one of the things, and this is under your jurisdiction, so to speak, is this the strategic plan update.
You
your consultant was in, gave a fairly lengthy update on what's going on, and give us the thumbnail on that, and then we want to talk about your call for projects.
I
know we talked about it the last time, but you know, let's get into that because we want to keep pounding away.
Absolutely.
Let people know that that's available.
Yeah, so last night what we heard from Jason Gray, he's our consultant with the J.D. Gray Group. It's a group out of the Frisco, Dallas, Texas area that's up here to help us throughout this process. Really, where we are right now, we're starting to get into the big detail parts of this to develop the goals and objectives and the strategic focus areas that will really align with our organization for the next 3 to 5 years. What we heard from Jason last night is that there will continue to be meetings with strategy groups, focus groups, stakeholders in the community. We will see a draft of the project in May. And that would be the next time that the public at large has an opportunity to share their thoughts, ideas, you know, provide comment and feedback. Looking ahead to June, that is about the time we're expecting completion, final acceptance, adoption of the plan.
Okay.
So, but to touch on the strategic focus areas of the plan, that's really the neat part. That's where the call for projects originated. And the strategic focus areas are five emerging themes that came out of the 1,100 plus survey responses. Honestly, we've touched thousands of people in this community through going
meetings.
To the street fair, commission meetings, focus group meetings, you name it. We want to hear as many voices as we can. The call for projects is an opportunity for those that have given us input and feedback for them to come forward with ideas of how they can promote ideas or promote concepts or projects or anything that could better the community.
Or from someone that hasn't made a contribution yet.
Absolutely.
To review this information, and I've been on your website a couple of times looking at the criteria for this, because I think we're going to be coming forward with a with an idea for you. So I'm looking at it pretty deeply, and it's there. It's all there. So people that maybe haven't been involved to this point need to take a look at what you're asking for. And again, I think it's really important to say there's not a pot of money here. This isn't about, hey, we have funding for you, bring us an idea.
Right.
That isn't it. It's there's it's a little deeper than that.
Right. And I don't want to say that there couldn't be funding.
Sure.
Part of the reason we're doing this now is because of what we just mentioned, the budget for 2020. So if there are projects that emerge that are of value, that do bring a heightened sense of community pride or a sense of place or an opportunity that we hadn't explored in the past, if those projects emerge, we will have time to incorporate that into the 2020 budget if the commission feels it's appropriate. One thing that I do want to mention is that although the city is really facilitating this conversation, we may not be in the first position on all projects. It might be something where we can connect an idea person with another group or an organization and really help to foster and sponsor that activity, knowing it's all for the betterment of Bismarck. That's really what it comes down to.
Yeah.
So there's five areas that we're, we've identified as strategic focus areas. Those are things that came out of the survey responses. Signature spaces, all ages and all wages, 21st century business hub, social health, and neighborhood connectivity. So those are the themes. And if you can develop a project or even a concept that meets one of those criteria, we'd love to hear it.
And you have a breakdown of each one of those themes on your website, too. So it describes what you're talking about or what would fall under that particular area.
I've been very careful to not get into specific projects. I don't want to plant any seeds that would allude to the city has a specific goal in mind.
Okay.
Our overall goal is community betterment. That's really what this is all about. And if people have a chance or an opportunity to share their ideas with us, this is what it's all about.
Okay.
So I would encourage anybody, go to our homepage, bismarcknd.gov. We've got a lot of information right there. The call for projects will close at the end of May. So there's some information on our website. There's some forms that can be completed. It's a little bit of Q&A.
Sure.
We'll take paper copies. We'll take digital copies. I mean, we're really trying to be as open as we can here to
And if you have questions,
absolutely. Call us, 355-1300. All the questions will come to me.
All right.
I'll make sure to share those with the strategic plan project team that we have. And we would love for anybody to come up with some ideas of what can make Bismarck even better.
It'll be interesting to see what
comes
back.
I'm anxious.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
And the deadline again for submitting
May
the
31st.
Ideas.
May 31st.
Okay. End of May.
BismarckND.gov. Go to the homepage and get something to us before the end of May. Please.
Sounds good. Another plan update was the airport master plan last night came forward. And it looks like this has been a big process over time.
It has. Yeah.
And that this is... not necessarily, I don't want to say it's the end, but it does complete the master planning process for now.
For now, yep. And what we saw from the consultants is that there is room to grow the terminal based on need and you know, continued increases in departures and landings and things like that. So there, I don't want to give anyone the impression we're going to be adding on to the airport next year. That certainly isn't it at all. Master planning is looking at the long range. You know, the next 10 years, 15 years, what is the airport going to look like? How do those services need to be provided? Are we catering to the right airline companies, the right sizes of the airplanes? These are all things that get considered when they're looking at a master plan.
And the runway has just been completed? Is that expansion has been completed?
Yep. It was total rebuild of the primary runway. I believe it's runway 1331 is what they call it in the airport lingo.
That was a big project.
It was. It was a three-year project. I want to say it was in the neighborhood of $60 million to do that, but it was worth it. It puts us in a very good position for the next 40, 50 years.
Yeah.
Some of that original runway was just that. It was original to the airport.
Nice to check that box.
It is.
That's done.
Yep.
Also on your regular agenda last night was an appeal to a Board of Adjustment variance denial. And we bring it up only because we want to remind people of the process that these things go through. This isn't about the property owner or where it is or anything like that. If people want to find out, they certainly can. But it was interesting to go through this and listen to the discussion. There was a lot of thoughtful discussion and some good questions, and certainly the property owner was there to ask for this
relief from the ordinance.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Special dispensation from the law.
You know, it was, again, I was interested in just like, I'm nerdy that way, but I like it was interesting to hear that. I did watch the Board of Adjustment meeting as well. This came to them. Again, good discussion, went through that whole process. And really, in a nutshell, what happened was there was a storage building that had started construction already. Your building inspection team had saw this property and approached the property owner, and then this happened. So, and it had not been permitted correctly.
Yeah, and
from the beginning.
Part of the issue is that the location of the storage building or outbuilding, accessory building, however you want to call it, it's in an area that's prone to flooding based on FEMA information, our mapping, and things like that. So, this could have been done a little bit differently, and it would have required some significant amounts of soil to be brought in to raise the elevation of the property.
Yeah.
But I think the message that is worth sharing is that when a building permit is necessary, there's a reason it's necessary. And to skip or negate that process can result in some uncomfortable situations.
It
certainly isn't anything that, you know, we're not going out looking for violations. It just so happened that one of the inspectors was in the neighborhood for a different inspection, was familiar with this property, and noticed that something was being constructed without a permit.
Yeah.
So the question last night was, can I continue to build this in the same location? And the answer was no, you cannot. You did not obtain a permit. So a good message to the general public, if you aren't sure if you need a building permit or not, please contact our building officials.
And again, because we have city and county and the ETA, people should check where they fall in within those building permits as
yes,
well.
Yes, absolutely.
Our ETA isn't a hard line, as you say, as a 2-mile radius of city limits. It's a modified ETA. So again, if you're not sure, check with community development or get online to the website, because I do believe you have maps
We
as
do.
Well.
We have a map gallery on our homepage, and there are well over a dozen maps that are available, but there's a simple, easy map where you can identify your property, and it'll tell you very clearly which jurisdiction you're in. Mm-hmm. Even if you're outside city limits, the city's zoning and building inspections regulations may apply in some areas. So be mindful of where you are, and if you're not sure, please call our folks in building inspections. We'd be happy to straighten it out and avoid any confusion or unintended consequences.
Yeah, or spending money where you're...
Yeah, we recognize that there was an investment made here by the property owner. Unfortunately, that investment won't pay off in this particular case.
Yeah.
So,
an item that took a longer discussion as well was the all-terrain vehicles. Was a public hearing last night, so you had input from a variety of people. That was an interesting discussion, and really the bottom line was that commissions heard a lot of different testimony and instructed our city attorney to go back and revise again.
Yep. So really what we're talking about here, big picture, is all-terrain vehicles. And we're not talking about necessarily four-wheelers, you know, some of the smaller vehicles. We're talking about the bigger off-highway vehicles that have roll cages and blinkers and mirrors and things like that. And, and the ordinance would allow them, in certain situations, to be driven on city streets. And not all situations, things like State Street, where you've got a divided highway, we're not interested in introducing all-terrain vehicles onto State Street. But neighborhood roadways, local roadways, there will be opportunity, assuming the ordinance gets tweaked and worked out and moving forward, there will be certain situations where off-highway vehicles are appropriate for city streets.
And there was some discussion about Burleigh County has its own regulations, state of North Dakota has theirs, and then the cities are...
Mandan, Lincoln
have their own as well. So City Attorney Janelle Combs had mirrored this ordinance more on the cities, and the commission instructed take a look at the other, the Burleigh County and the state, and see how we all fit together. So
So we'll take a deep breath, back up a little bit, talk to some more folks. There were some industry people there, retailers from the region that have information that I think is worth knowing as well. So it was interesting. A lot of the discussion centered around the types of tires, street legal tires, you know, the term knobby tires versus street legal tires. And so a little bit of work to do.
Yeah.
We'll start over, not start over, but we'll readdress some of the language that's there, and we'll re-advertise for another public hearing because there will be substantial change.
Okay,
going
so
forward.
That would not be at your next meeting then. It would probably
in May.
Okay.
Early May. Right. I think I forget the date of the May meeting off the top of my head, but okay. Either May 14th
or
May 28th, it'll come back again. So
yeah.
Again, for anybody that's interested, has questions, concerns, comments, you can call our office, you can call the city attorney's office. We'd be happy to
email
works as well. The police department actually is a big part of this because they're the ones that will result in the enforcement.
Well, exactly. If people have an opinion upon these vehicles being in the streets, they should speak up.
Yep.
Because it's moving forward.
Yep. Positive or negative or just
right.
a question. Please.
Absolutely.
Feel free.
Let's talk about streets.
Okay.
So exciting. Well, we kind of are. We have a new process that's being introduced in the city, a new maintenance.
New street maintenance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's called the scrub seal.
You bet.
It came forward last night because we have two special assessment districts that have been established to allow this process to move forward in those neighborhoods only right now.
Right. Yep.
There were two different neighborhoods. Apparently not enough protests to... There were... Couple of
I think three protest letters in each district,
very
so a very
few.
Small percentage.
Yeah, very yeah. small. And it takes like 50% or 60% to
50%
to protest. Mm-hmm. So they are moving forward, and they're two fairly large neighborhoods where we're going to be using this scrub seal. And the Lloyd's got the map up right now. Why don't you describe that?
Sure. This would be, I like to call it North Central Bismarck. So this is the area, if anybody's familiar with kind of the themed streets, these are the outer space streets. We've got Saturn Drive, Nova Drive, Telstar, Lunar, part of Interstate Avenue, Redstone Drive, that entire neighborhood. And what we're looking at here for the scrub seal, it's a new technique to Bismarck, but it's not new to North Dakota. There are other communities that have been using this with fairly good success in the past few years. Really what we're talking about here is it's a fresh top coat of a petroleum-based emulsion. Now I'm talking like an engineer because these are the words that they're using when they're telling us about this. So really it's a thick petroleum product that goes on. And as you can see on the monitors right now, there's an apparatus that comes behind the petroleum application. And it's really a series of brushes. And they're intended to, as the name implies, scrub that emulsion and really work it down into the cracks of the asphalt. Of course, the street is cleaned first. You know, any of the loose material is taken off. Ultimately, though, this is a redress of the very topmost driving surface of the street. And the intention here is to extend the life expectancy of the asphalt. What we've learned is that we could potentially get another 5, 6, 7 years of asphalt and possibly doing another scrub seal surface after the 5 or 6 years of the current scrub seal surface. So the intention here is to really lengthen the time span in which we're having to rebuild asphalt in the community. We've got a couple neighborhoods where through our pavement management system, they were up for some type of maintenance, whether it be a traditional mill and overlay where we go in and grind off the top couple inches of the street and then put new asphalt and new chip seal on. Now we're going to skip that and just do the chip seal and see if it extends the life of the street. The other part of the community that we're looking at is the northeast part of town, up around the Sunrise Elementary area. I believe Stonewall Drive, Turnbow Lane, some of those streets up in the Sattler's Sunrise subdivision are going to be seeing this improvement as well.
Okay.
So. Anxious to see what this looks like. I'm anxious to watch the process unfold, but really also curious to know, does this give us an extended life of our roadways? I should mention, this is a cheaper alternative for property owners. The assessments are much smaller than a traditional street improvement district where we could be looking at several thousand dollars over a 7 to 10 year time span. Now we're talking about the estimates are between $500 and $1,500 per homeowner for 2 to 3 years.
And this is a special assessment district, so all property owners have been notified and had an opportunity to respond. And we do anticipate that this will be this summer yet?
Yes.
This project will happen. Does it need to be mentioned that you are in one of these neighborhoods?
I do live in one of these neighborhoods, so...
So you're a test...
I say we, but selfishly, I've even joked with our city engineer, Gabe Schell, that I'm going to take the day off when they're in front of my house just so I can watch this happen. My wife would tell you I'm the guy that runs out when the snowplows come by, too. I just like to see that stuff happen. So I'm excited. I'm anxious. I would be more than happy to give a homeowner's perspective when this is all said and done, you know, to our city engineering folks, because this is really a learning opportunity for everybody.
It's a bit of a pilot project, even though it's been happening in other cities. Mm-hmm. For Bismarck, it's a new process.
Yes, it is. And we're anxious to see if this does what we hope it will, and that's lengthen the time of the street and then also reduce the maintenance costs that do get applied to the property owners.
All right. Well, you'll report back.
I'd be happy to.
We'll give you a little camera, and when they're out there, it'll want you to be getting some footage so we could watch. Another item that took a long discussion, a time for discussion last night, was the minimum habitability standards that were on the last commission meeting.
Right.
How did this all turn out?
Well, we've got some more work to do. We still have a lot of discussion at the table amongst the commissioners, and I don't want to give the impression that they're divided, but there are certainly good points on both sides. Mm-hmm. And really what we're talking about, some communities call it a rental housing code. Here it's minimum habitability standards. And really what we're looking at is the living conditions of the homes in our community. Right now, if a renter has a problem with their property, their first step would be to go to the landlord. And hopefully the landlord is responsive and takes care of whatever conditions need to be addressed. We are aware that there are certain living conditions in this community that are substandard. And as the city, we don't necessarily have any tools to help that situation. We, as even though we have building inspectors, our inspectors are typically off the property once the home has been occupied.
Well, and oftentimes those properties are occupied by a vulnerable population who have few options, little cash flow. They could have a disability of some sort and are hesitant about going forward and being too aggressive about making change within their properties.
Right. And Commissioner Guy and Commissioner Oban both spoke from personal perspectives where they've been exposed to some of these things through their day jobs and just through some of the activities that they're doing. Commissioner Guy pointed out that there's concern from some tenants that if they do speak up and raise issues that they could get evicted.
Right.
And for many people, that would be obviously life-changing and very impactful. And if you're without financial resources, means to make some of these adjustments on your own, in some cases you're kind of left to not much.
So back to the drawing board, so to speak. Some tweaking needs to happen.
Right.
There.
We were asked as staff to go back and incorporate landlords or operators of mobile home parks to make sure that they have a voice at the table, because these are areas that would be addressed through this ordinance. Of course, we've got the Bismarck Mandan Apartment Association as well, which they are a voice for many, not all, but many of the apartment owners in town. Some of them have been engaged throughout this process, so we've heard from them. It's certainly, we need to be mindful of all new law so we don't have any unintended consequences.
Right.
But also, it appears as though something needs to be done with this, and whether it be at the state level, county level, the local level, I guess that's part of what the discussion is all about.
And I think it was Commissioner Marquardt who was concerned about the impact on staff.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen once this gets in place?
That's a bit of an unknown.
And I think that the response that I heard last night was, well, if we're overwhelmed with issues, then obviously there was a need to begin with. But I think most importantly, that if that is the case, if it does it is burdensome for the staff, then change has to happen. Something else will have to happen if that's the case.
So yeah,
adjustments can be made.
Absolutely. We would, you know, take a very methodical approach to this if this is something that the commission decides to move forward. For right now, we're still talking about it.
Yeah.
And we can continue to talk about it here once some decisions have been made.
Yep. It'll come back to the commission, so it'll come back to us here. So we're done with the agenda from last night.
That was quicker than last night.
Yeah. Well, and I just, I, we end our program today talking about the film festival that happened last weekend, mm-hmm. which we all feel was pretty successful. We were pretty proud of what happened, and the audience that we had there mm-hmm. seemed very happy and pleased with everything that was shown and all the events. So.
Speaking from an audience perspective, it was fantastic.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
I've been to all but one of these over the past 8 years, and each year they get better and yeah. better, and I would encourage anybody that's ever considered it, go.
Yeah,
absolutely,
it's just
go.
It's an easy event to attend. Mm-hmm. The price is pretty reasonable. Yeah. And I think that you are not only entertained, but enlightened in mm-hmm. the process, which I think is...
There are some thought-provoking films.
There very much is. And,
definitely.
And local filmmakers... we had visiting filmmakers. Mm-hmm. We were grateful for their attendance, and also local filmmakers who were there and appreciated the opportunity to show their work. And mm-hmm. and they were the thing that's always, it shouldn't be surprising. They're on the same level. Mm-hmm. I mean, these yeah. we have some local people that can do
tremendous local talent,
major yeah. stuff. And I think another thing I'd like to mention too is the documentary that was shown on Thursday night. I was pleasantly surprised. I didn't quite anticipate the reaction from the crowd. We had a huge crowd there, and it was wonderful. This was the Bismarck State College Arts Quest documentary, mm-hmm. The Great Alone, and Lance Mackey, the Iditarod champion, attended. Mm-hmm. He was a very interesting individual, certainly very colorful. Mm-hmm. He's kind of a, you know, what you would probably say he's maybe a frontiersman, kind of mm-hmm. simple guy. But in reality, he's kind of a charming individual and very insightful, but mm-hmm. high energy. And the audience just loved him. And I mean, he's a bit of a rock star in that world. Mm-hmm. I was surprised. But the documentary itself was beautiful. I mean, if you can imagine in the wilderness of mm-hmm. Alaska, and also the relationship between him and the dogs.
And the dogs.
Was extremely intense. He also talked on stage afterwards and talked a lot about the race itself, the sport, as mm-hmm. as they call it, in the state of Alaska, and that they feel it's their state sport and how it's changing and could potentially die off at some point. He was obviously disappointed in that, but that was really very interesting. That was a real pleasant surprise mm-hmm. to attend, and we were really grateful for the audience that was huge mm-hmm. that night that came as well. So as we are with the Friday night of shorts, and our matinee on Saturday was really fun.
It was tremendous.
Seeing local teams compete, we had 11 films submitted, and there were many of them that were so good. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's always a mixed yeah. bag, but I'd have to say that it was just a fun event yeah. and difficult to vote for the best. Mm-hmm. I mean, your judges had a lot of discussion about who was going to get any mm-hmm. kind of award. So
I left, my wife and I left on Saturday after the matinee, and I was just pleased to know that there is so much talent in this community.
It's crazy.
I wish there was a broader opportunity for them to showcase some of their skills, mm-hmm. but it just gave me great pride to know that we've got such tremendous people in this community that want to be here and want to share their talent with everybody.
The thing that really was evident this year, probably more so than any other year, was our visiting filmmakers, our local filmmakers, and all the collaboration. And we saw not only before the event, but during the event and after the event, all these people talking. And, you know, you've got people, filmmakers coming out of Minneapolis, Ohio, New York, mm-hmm. visiting with local people and them being so impressed with that talent mm-hmm. that they saw here, saying, huh.
Yeah, who knew?
Who knew?
Yeah.
Can I have your card?
Yeah. Networking.
So it was very, very positive to see that really very evident this year. Mm-hmm. We know it's always been there, but especially this yeah. year. So that was, we were grateful for yeah. that.
And
so.
I think that just speaks to the, you know, the culture of North Dakota. We hear it all the time that people are more than happy to help and collaborate and assist. And mm-hmm. I think it's the same in this world as well. There are talents and skills that one person may have that a younger person who's just getting interested might benefit from learning. And I sense that there's a very cooperative effort to share that knowledge with everybody. So
yeah.
it just continues to move.
It is.
Move the bar
and
forward.
And, you know I've said this before, we don't do it just because Bismarck needs a fun event to go to.
Mm-hmm.
part of our motivation, a big part of the motivation, is to help cultivate this workforce and these skill sets for and within our community. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, again, there's so many parts to making film, writing, the conceptions, all of that that have to be put together. Mm-hmm. It could be construction, set building, audio issues, lighting, mm-hmm. professionals. Certainly camera and editing and directing are mm-hmm. a part of that, but there are a lot of peripheral jobs and skill sets that can come along with this industry. Mm-hmm. So we just want to continue to promote that and build on yeah. it if we can, do in a small way, but
well, as a, we can help. As a resident of Bismarck, as somebody that attends these, I just want to say thank you. Oh. It is so nice to know that we have this opportunity right here, and you guys do a great job to foster that, and I'm looking forward to more. Don't stop now.
Well, there will more than likely be a Dash competition again in the fall. We'll do that the one at the end of October, mid-October, right mm-hmm. around there. So
you get some spooky movies
in October. Do that genre and great. See what they can come up with. So anyway, thank you for all your
my pleasure.
Encouragement. We
thank
appreciate
you.
That and your attendance. So
always happy to be here.
All right. And to be here as well at City Current. So thank you so much. And thank you, too, for tuning in to this edition of City Current.
For more information on what was discussed in this episode of City Current, visit bismarcknd.gov or call 701-355-1300. If you have suggestions, comments, or issues you would like addressed in future episodes, contact us at info@freetv.org. This program airs on Government Access, Channel 2 and 602 in HD, or on Radio Access 102.5 FM. It's also available as a podcast on radioaccess.org and as a video viewing link at freetv.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.